Elian, Elian, oh, Elian, 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 Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Come on, somebody, go ahead, lift your hands in this house this evening. Worship the name of the Lord. You deserve it, you deserve it. Sheliana, Sheliana, Eliana, Eliana. We love to worship you, Jesus. And we bring to you the sacrifice of praise. With the fruit of my lips, giving thanks unto your name. I bring to you, Lord, the sacrifice of praise. With the fruit of my lips, I give thanks unto your name, Jesus. We declare it again. I bring to you the sacrifice of my praise. With the fruit of my lips, I give thanks unto your name. And I bring to you sacrifice of my Jesus, with the fruit of my heart, I give thanks unto your name. We declare it, I worship you with all my heart. Everything on my inside, I worship you, Jesus. I have every reason to worship you, Lord. With everything on my inside, hey, I worship you, Lord. With a meditation of my heart, with a song that I sing, Lord, and I lift my head, I lift my head with all my heart. Let it be your song tonight. Lord, worship you with all my heart. With all my heart. Sing it one more time. Lord, I worship you.
Come on, just lift your hands. Praise God. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Just lift your hands to Him. Lift your hands to Him. We give you praise. Lift your hands to Him. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. 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 We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We give you praise, Father. Thank you. Thank you for bringing us into fellowship with you. Thank you for revelation knowledge. Thank you for granting us access. Thank you because we have intimacy. Thank you because in us lives permanently the mighty Holy Spirit. We give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, good evening. Please sit it. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. So while there are a number of thoughts I would love to build up today, it's also important to drive home some more certain things we're looking at last week. And a major part is your identity. In fact, everything is about identity. This is transforming. This is what the believer needs. When you're brought into a world, a new world, a new place, you become citizen of a country, you get a job in an organization. I mean, you're somewhere new. You know, it behooves you to learn their practices. It behooves you to understand their ways, their methods. And so it is with Christ Jesus. So Colossians 2, and then the... Okay, we'll just speak it again from the first verse, Colossians 2, from verse 1. It's important to understand that Christ is our identity. So I trust that those of us listening online, that I have your attention. And I know a number of us would listen to this much later also. So Colossians 2, from verse 1, I'm using the New King James Version. Says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom," that is Christ, "are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Verse 6, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." So this is where I needed us to pick up from. When you get into a place, you have to learn their culture, their tradition, their customs. How do they think here? How do they function here? Most of us grew up being told or hearing that when you're in Rome, you behave like a Roman. So if that is well understood, then if I am in Christ, how do I behave? All right? So many people have their own ideology of what Christianity is. They have their own mindset, their own thinking pattern of what they think it is. You cannot describe or define it for yourself and by yourself. You come to God's word to say, okay, this is what the word said. All right? Because while all of us, you know, are born again and then we're in church, the greatest thing that still faces the church is identity crisis. The greatest thing that still affects the church is identity crisis. Not being fully aware, number one, and then fully assured of who we are in Him. All right? So I separated them. Number one is not being fully aware. You know, we're scarcely aware. We're aware to certain degrees, to certain levels, but we're not fully aware. All right? Number two, we're not fully assured. It hasn't settled in our hearts the way it should. It has not rested in our hearts the way it should. So these things, you find, you know, maybe you meet someone and the person say, I used to be a Pentecostal. I'm not. And the person mentions something, you know, I'm back in a church where they don't even speak in tongues. All right? I used to be, you know, charismatic, but when the troubles of life hit me, I knew I needed to go on top of one mountain. So you're not fully assured. You're not fully assured. You're not aware as you should be. So for many people, Christianity, as it were, is just that life where we get miracles. So there's no growth. No growth pattern. No growth intention. It's just miracles, signs and wonders. While power is clear, I mean, Paul spoke in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He said the gospel is not in words alone, but in power. That should be 1 Corinthians 4:20. But it's not the power without a revelation of the gospel. If you remember in the book of Acts, there was a man, there was a sorcerer, bar Jesus. So you find that there are people who could show the power. But there's a revelation of who we are in Christ, from which all things, from where all things are sourced out. We have to be fully aware and fully assured. Fully aware, fully assured. We can't attain either of these without giving attention to God's word. You have to be aware. You have to be assured. What has the Bible said? So that's why last week we ended, all right, personalizing certain places in the Bible. And then we're going to do that again today. And just read it to yourself. Because you've read it like, for us. He's done it for us. But see yourself in the picture. Like someone rightly said, when you look into a photograph, or you look at a photograph, you know, a picture that you were in, the most important person you're always looking out for is who? Is you. And even when every other person is talking about how nice the picture is, somehow, because your mouth was twisted, somebody say, the picture is not good. No matter what anybody else says, because you seem to have this identification. Please understand this. You are more connected to the picture you are in. Have you had to go back to those pictures like several times? They say, haven't you seen it? I'm just looking at it again. If only we'll give equal, if not more, of such attention to the reality of who we are in Christ. But the issue is, we see Jesus hanging on the cross, but we don't see ourselves in the picture. So we're not going back to that picture again. We see Him resurrected. We see Him seated. But we don't see ourselves in the picture. You're not saying, I see the way I'm sitting here. See the way I just sat. Man, see me again, again. Myself. You're not seeing yourself. So you just read, we're made to sit together with Him. Me. It's just too general. There's no revelation busting out to you. I hope someone is getting me here this evening, for those of us here and there, whoever might be listening. It can be too general. It loses the juice. Okay? So, but let's read down Colossians 2. All right? We're in verse 6 already. New King James still. All right? Colossians chapter 2 from verse 6. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in Him. That means you could receive Him and not walk as you should. All right? So walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established where? In the faith, as you have been what? Founding therein with thanksgiving. Please, all of this. Because the two statements I made earlier, you find them here. I said we have to be fully aware and then we have to be fully assured. Please understand that. We have to be fully aware and then we have to be fully assured. We have to be fully aware. We have to be fully assured. So you need to know. Okay? So see here. All right, it says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, also walk in him. How? Be rooted. You can't gain root without gaining knowledge. Be rooted in him. Be built up in him. Next, it now says, be established. To be established means to settle something with finality. The church of Jesus needs to settle with finality God's will where protection is concerned. The church of Jesus needs to settle with finality God's will where provision is concerned. The church of Jesus needs to settle with finality. You know, finality, the will of God where divine direction is concerned. I said something on Sunday and, you know, last Sunday, influence of the Spirit, I must have, touched, several points. I'll just, hit and run. All right? Okay, my wife is saying 6. Someone might have found 15. I know I was in hit and run. A friend was just talking to me yesterday. And you were just going. I'm going. I said, was it clear? He said, I got what you were saying. But I knew that it's as if you needed more time to explain each of your points, but you were just going. And I was going. So, but I said something, and I will need to, once there's opportunity for the next meeting, I need to explain a little more. I said, you don't need to pray for direction. All right? And you don't make such statements and just hang somebody up there. All right? You don't leave someone open on the operating table. All right? That's, and just walk away and say, I'm done. Ah, sew him back now. God is more willing to direct you than you are to be directed. So when I said don't pray, if we use prayer in the language or context of conversing with God, then all kinds of talking to God is prayer. But I'm dealing with this panic mode. Oh God, direct me. Oh, Father, give me direction. He said when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Question, has it come? Yes, your guide is with you. So rather, where is the direction? Why don't you start saying, I have the Spirit of truth. I am guided. You are being aware. And you are settling in your heart. I can't miss this one. Are you getting that now? Then we'll go to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. For you have an unction from the Holy One. And you know all things. He didn't say you have an unction and you will know. Perhaps. He spoke with audacity. He spoke with clarity. Jesus in John chapter 8 verse 12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. But will have the light of life. It was with audacity he said it. That means a child of God. And if you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It calls you a son of light. A child of the day. So, I don't want to miss it. I don't know. You are talking like you are not in the light. He that walks in the light does not stumble. Anybody getting this? Now, you can talk like this and you make the next 10 decisions and they were dumb. So, maybe I ask this brother here, and say, do you have 50,000 naira? And the answer is yes, all right? Because he has it in the bank. Okay, so I said, do you have 50,000 naira? So he says, yes, I do. I said, so bring out 50,000 naira. He said, I don't have cash. I said, then you don't have it. What am I doing? I'm using his pocket to define his bank. Someone needs to catch that. The load of your wealth is not in your pocket. Your pocket cannot carry the wealth you have. Come on, somebody. Your pocket is too tiny to carry what you have. So we do cashless. Anybody getting that? So you now look at your pocket and say you're broke, whereas it's 150K or 400K or whatever the amount, even is 10K. It's not in your pocket, but it's where? So because you know you have it, you don't say you don't have it. But is it with you? No. So what we now do is we use experience to define reality. So because I'm not experiencing it, then it's not true. No. God's word is my reality. It's the substance of the things hoped for. It is the evidence of the things I have not yet seen. So I don't see it, but I have the evidence. So I will not judge spiritual things from natural experiences. I will keep speaking the spiritual till it enters this place. Anybody getting that? Say, I have an unction from the Holy One. I have it. I have an unction from the Holy One. 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 And I know all things. I know all things. I mean, you just made three dumb decisions. I know all things. I do not walk in darkness. I walk in the light. I walk in the light. I walk in the light. I am a child of light. You are firm because you must be aware. Then you must be what? Assured. You must be aware. You must settle it with finality. Many times believers are not sure if God will heal them. So they try to pick one faith message somewhere and one faith book somewhere. Try to confess like 3-4 days. And then the pain becomes a lot more excruciating. After it becomes, oh God, when are you going to heal me? You just located yourself because your words locate you in the realm of the spirit. Your words are your address. Jesus in Matthew chapter 13 says, every man will be justified by the words of his mouth, and every man will be condemned. Matthew 12. You'll be justified by the words of your mouth, you'll be condemned by the words of your mouth. So you can't just, God, when are you? No. Healing for the new creation is not a promise. Please understand this. So using the same 50,000 as an example, so I, you know, say to him, I've moved 50,000 naira, or he says to me, I've moved 50,000 naira into your account. Then I walk up to him and say, please now, please, when are you going to do it? You know, there have been instances where money was sent to you, but you didn't receive any bank notification due to network or something. He said, I sent it. So you are waiting for the alert. But the credibility of the person talking to me also matters a lot. He said, I sent it. So I don't bug him anymore. I say, it must be the network. It would have entered. Anybody getting what I'm saying? So who is the person speaking to you that says he has healed you? Is it credible enough? So it's not enough to be singing and you don't say what you don't mean, you don't mean. No, do you believe it? When you are trekking and you don't have how to do the next thing you want to do, when the bills are due, would you still say he that spoke is credible? It's not just music. Oh, you're too faithful to fail me. You're too faithful to decide. Listen, God knows. Who heard me? God is not confused as to his own faithfulness. So when you're singing those songs, please know you're not singing to him. You're singing to yourself. God is not confused. You hear me? Did you hear me? And because you're singing to do what? To let him, you know the way you know, you're about to say that when you give thanks for one thing, you qualify for the next one. The person can do the next one. Before he gave thanks for one, he did everything. Are you getting me now? Before you thanked him for one, he didn't give you one to wait for the next. Jesus hung on the cross and settled everything. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all? This does not refuse the place of thanksgiving. What do you now thank him for? Everything. Because he has done everything. So he says that you are established in the thing with what? Thanksgiving. Because you see what he has done. You see what he has done. You become a more grateful believer. They say, let us pray. He said, no. Let's just give thanks. Because the thing we are praying for, he has done them. Does he remove prayer? No. And like I said last week, you need to understand the place of prayer. You give attention to praying in the Holy Ghost. That's the best way to pray. There are now things, you know, can I pick a word and say I'm praying about it or I'm praying it out? I can, but you have to be careful with how you construct it. So I can pick 1 John 2:20, for instance. Oh, I have an unction from the Holy One and I know things. I say, Karabobobobo, Father, your word said, I have an unction from the Holy One. I know things. So I'm saying that in the name of Jesus. I will know things. Now, you just picked it and put it in reverse. But then you prayed it out. But you know what? If that person is intense with the tongues, the answer will still come. So he would define how he did it, whichever way I got the answer. But it's no. I have an unction from the Holy One. So I know all things. So if I'm praying in tongues, I'm not praying in tongues so that God will now. I'm staying firm and say, this is your word. I'm only energizing myself in that direction. So the construction matters. I'm saying it's just nomenclature. It's just, no. The construction matters. Isaiah said, by stripes, we are healed. Peter could have said, construction doesn't matter, by his stripes, we are. Peter wasn't speaking present tense. Peter could not be speaking present tense. Peter, by no chance, Peter in no way of any error of mistake could speak present tense, because Peter was there when it happened. So he can't be speaking present tense, because as far as Peter is concerned, it is established, by his stripes we were. We were. This thing is settled. We were healed. So don't make prayer what is settled. We stay with it. Verse 8, right? So just quickly read down. Still 2 Corinthians. I mean, Colossians 2. Verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through what? Philosophy and empty what? Deceit, you know, high sounding words and all of that, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. It means Christ must be your thinking pattern. For in him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and what? This is a good place, all right? So, us going and coming back. Read verse 9 and 10, all right? Everybody, already go. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all. Alright, so you're going to personalize. Are you ready? Alright, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and I am complete in him, who is the head of all principality. Do like 5 times. Go. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and I am complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and power. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and I am complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. For in him dwells all fullness of the Godhead bodily, and I am complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. For in him dwells fullness of Godhead bodily. The Godhead, that's Father, Son, Holy Ghost, right? In Christ dwells Father, Son, Holy Ghost bodily. So all of the expressions of the Trinity, the Godhead, all the manifestations of the Godhead are in him. Then I am also where? In him. And he is where? In me. Because in chapter 1, verse 27, Christ in you. Now, if the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily in him, and he is in you, do the math. That means the fullness of the Godhead bodily is resident in you. We're either drunkards, maybe we're crazy to think these things. Because these are beyond human play thoughts. You can't toy with these levels of... That's why it's... Who wrote this thing? What was he thinking? What was on his mind? How can he think like this? But this is scripture. Then he says you are complete. The word complete there means perfect. Perfect. Now, not mature, but perfect. It means as far as the recreation is concerned, there's no fault in you. There might be things to be renewed in your mind. Now, if things to put down in your flesh, but inside of you, there's perfection. So what the new creation does for himself or herself as a good favor, focus on the person on the inside. Talk more about the person on the inside. Let those virtues find expression. You know, the more you tell a child, you're a dullard, you're just a dullard, you're just so irresponsible, you affect the kid. Now, some irrespective of that will do well, but some are affected. But some, even when they don't do it, I say, oh, you're just brilliant, you're smart, I like you. It gives us this air of, even when they are dumb, they are smart. Philemon 6 now says that the communication of your faith will become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ. Not everything that is in your flesh. Paul already said in Romans chapter 7 that in my flesh there is no good thing. So he didn't say describe your flesh. He didn't say describe your soulish tendency. No, he said spend time giving attention, acknowledging the good things that are in you in Christ. You have to. So it means that the child of God must give attention to saying, I'm complete in him. You are not saying it so that the person beside you will stop calling you whatever name they were calling you. You are saying it to even override whatever you notice is wrong in your flesh. You are saying it to override whatever you know is wrong with your thinking pattern. Remember what we read last week from Hebrews 13? Let your conversation be without covetousness. All right? Be appreciative of such things as you have. For God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my keeper, my helper. I will not be afraid. So when he says, what do we do back? We say. So he says, you are complete in him. What should you say? I'm complete. I am complete in him. I am complete in him. I am complete in him. Now, some would take that and say, don't complain about me. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm complete in him. If you sit with yourself, you know that there are things to arrange by yourself. You know that you need to renew your mind on certain things. You know that you need to adjust thoughts on certain things. You know yourself. You know. Because Christ-likeness is a totality. It's not just new creation, revelation, and then we're misbehaving. Do you understand that? So that totality. Glory to God. Alright, so it says, for you are complete in him who is a head of what? Jesus is the head of all principality and power, right? And you are what? Complete in him. Is the head. I'm complete in him. Is the head. I'm complete in him. Is the head. This also defeats how you think demons can harass you. I don't know if you get that. Someone is head over something, and me, I'm where? Completing the person that is their head. You know, they call. Let me not go into all that. Verse 11. In whom you were also what? Circumcised with circumcision, made without hands. So I have been circumcised by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by circumcision of Christ. I've been buried with him in baptism, in which also I was what? Raised with him through faith. In the operation of God, who raised him from the dead, and I, being dead in trespasses and uncircumcision of my flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven me how many? All trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that were against me, all right, which were contrary to me. Applies more to the law, right? So it would apply more to Israel, okay? Did you get that part? All right, but so having designed principles and powers, he made a show of them publicly, or made a public spectacle of them, triumphed over them here. So let nobody judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is what? The reality, Christ. Let no man cheat you of your reward, talking You know, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, entering into those things they have not seen, vainly puffed up by their fleshly minds, and not holding fast to the head, from which all the body nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if I died with Christ from the basic principles of this world, why, as though living in this world, do I subject myself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with what? Using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have what? An appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion. We feel good when we are, you know, doing these things. False humility, neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. So it means at the end of the day, what will help you is knowing who you are and the fact that you have been dead and you've been raised together with him. I think this is just amazing. Therefore, if you have died with Christ from the basic principles of this world, why, as though living in the world, you subject yourselves. Now, people see this again and say, well, are you people saying we should be lawless? We're not saying. You are reading it like we are. But something that needs to be clear. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. They had the Ten Commandments written on tablets of stone. They saw fire, they saw lightning, they saw earthquake, you know. They had the laws and the commandments and all of that. Yet they still couldn't do this thing. Then God said in a new time, what I'll do now is instead of writing it on stones, I will write my law on your heart. So the better way to be influenced is by the Spirit, in your spirit. He said you'll catch it that way. You catch it that way. You catch it that way. You catch it that way. Isn't that amazing? It is the New Testament that really should have a lot of regulations and laws and don't do this and don't. This is because it's the reality. But all those things are in the shadow. How do I know the right thing? It says, I give you my word, I give you my spirit. So the training now is of the Spirit. By the Spirit. Isn't it serious? Serious. God is not going to use lightning and threats and ground is opening and swallowing people up to talk to you. He'll use the word and the leadings of his Spirit. That's what we'll do to talk to you. You know? If the best time, which you've heard me say, if the best time you gave was when someone coerced you to give, come on. What happened to the leading of the Spirit? When the best of the best of the times you gave, the biggest, the best, you know, now big is, you know, relative. But what happened? Has the Holy Ghost never talked to you to give? Someone must have to say something, drive something, motivate something. Say like 50 things? No. And their systems are run like that. There must be those motivations. Come on. Paul said, every man propose in your heart. They need a lot of money to do the work. He said, make up your mind. Choose it in your heart. Because a well-trained believer can propose right. Because generosity is part of the church of, I mean, work of the church. Nobody has to harass you. Paul's writing to the Hebrew people, you know, in that Hebrews 13. He said, be good to entertain strangers. Many have entertained angels unawares. Generosity was part of life. So I was reminding them. They will tell them, be good to the widows, to the motherless, fatherless, to the fatherless. I mean, generosity was a part of their life. Nobody has to harass you. Because the life of a man does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. But what the world does now is to direct you to possession and more possession and possession and more possession and possession. And I believe some Sundays back, you were told to check Solomon's wealth. All right, versus the wealth of the richest man here. See the gap now. God was one that told Solomon, nobody will be as rich as you are. God said it, God meant it. Now the same God now says, stay with me. We say, no, we don't have your time. We're looking for money. I am the one that can give this thing now. I can give you inside your sleep. But we say, no, we don't have your time. We can't study the Bible. We don't have time to pray. We just need to hustle. It is the blessing of the Lord that make us rich. It doesn't make us lazy people. No. See a man diligent in his business, he will stand before kings, not before mean men. But we don't grab, we don't, I'm a self-made man. Where'd you come from? You remember the Lord your God. That it is he that gives you the power to get the wealth. And God still owes Abraham. Every child of Abraham has to be rich. And the blessing of Abraham is upon you in Christ. Oh, but I'm drinking Gary today. We've drank it before. Drink it well. Enjoy while you're drinking it. It does not depreciate your value in heaven. It doesn't make null and void the riches that you have in Christ Jesus. It just means you need to grow capacity and you understand wisdom and how to access it. It is there. It's your own. You're not broke. They are chasing us out of the house. It does not make you compromise. Favor is available in Christ. Chapter 3, Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If then I was raised, are you there? With Christ, I am to seek those things that are where? Above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. I set my mind where? On things above and not on things on the earth, for I died and my life is hidden with Christ in God. So my attention should be on the spiritual, on the supernatural, on the heavenly. In that place I'm not broke. In that place I'm not sick. In that place I'm not weak. There I have rich rewards, rich inheritance. What then do I do, knowing I have it there and knowing that faith is a medium of transportation? Then I use my faith. I believe, and therefore I speak. So when I say I'm rich, see, they can try to quantify Solomon's wealth. But the richest man that really walked this earth, nobody can quantify his wealth. For if you want to use the natural, you say he was broke. When Jesus showed up, he said, greater than Solomon is here. Yet he didn't have big bank account or chariots. But he can do like this and something happens. Then that means wealth is not cash. They needed to feed people. He told them, sit down, don't worry. He said, but there's money. Sit down. Before you carry the money, run to town, buy the food. These people have finished eating. There's something that is more powerful than money. He said, is it greater than Solomon? How do you quantify his own wealth? His own wealth is not earthly. It's called riches in glory. And that's what we have, because my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches. That's what we have access to. Some time ago, you know, I met two pastors, one at Imoru back then. They were having, like, maybe it was his birthday or, you know, something. And I promised to show up, however late I might be. And then another pastor somewhere at Adrian Road or something. I think they were having an event. And I said, I'll be there. So I left here after church. You know, there was no car. So I took a bike, got to Imoru. And they had finished. So I got there and some of his members were outside. One of them knew me, paid my bike fare. I thanked him. I got in. So didn't spend so much time because I wanted to be back here, you know, in good time. So I, you know, spent a few minutes, said I needed to leave. Maybe him or someone was going towards the other church and then took me there. And so I was done, was going to leave, took a bike, go in front of church. Some members were in front of, you know, this gate here. You know, I'm talking about maybe six, 7 years ago. Maybe six. And then someone, you know, pay my back fare. Don't worry, Pastor, I'll pay. And then the Lord said to me, because that means the money I took out, I came back with it. The Lord said, I can take care of you. And you won't spend a kobo. And like 2-3 years after, I had an opportunity of traveling. And I went and came back. And I'm not sure I had 50K. I'm not sure I had 20K. Me. I didn't have it. And I entered plane, spent, came back. I didn't still have my 50K. So I can do that for you. I can do that for you. Someone says, oh, because you're a preacher. Abraham was a farmer. Isaac was a farmer. The blessing came upon the businesses they were doing. Jacob was into farming too. Animal husbandry. Joseph was, I like his own story, was a prisoner. Was a slave. Was houseboy that became house manager. Prisoner that became prison supervisor. I like his story. He was not employable. And God rose him up to be prime minister. All by the factor of the blessing. So it's not a preacher's blessing. It's a blessing to every child of Abraham. Come on. Come on. So you factor in this blessing. Sickness is on your body. Jesus said to the woman in Luke 15, this woman is the daughter of Abraham. She shouldn't be in this condition. That means if I'm a child of Abraham, I should not be in any funny condition. I fight that thing. Are you getting me, please? Because you must be fully aware and then have it what? Settled in you. This is who I am. Doesn't happen overnight. But the earlier we get on the journey, the better. Romans chapter 8. We'll end on that. Say, God takes care of me. Say it like you know it. God takes care of me. Say, God takes care of me. I've traveled a number of times. I had to borrow a car to go. I mean, out of town here. Or go by public transport. But all that should not disturb your mindset. I've had events I could not go for because I didn't even have TV. But all that doesn't disturb your mindset. I know I pastored, you know, back then in Ife, that I missed some of their weddings because I was living in Ijebu and I could not go to Lagos and come back. There was not enough cash to do that. That would be a luxury trip. And I still come to church and preach faith because it's not a preaching. It's a revelation and a lifestyle. Please understand this thing. Please understand this thing. If you read after Kenneth Hagin, Hagin will tell you that he was preaching prosperity when he had a hole in one pocket and a dime in another. That means he wasn't preaching because there was money. He preached because there's a revelation and a conviction. When Copeland knew they were rich, they were in debt and were shouting, I'm rich, because it's the intangibles. That light bulb, like as it were, that just blows open inside you. Paul calls it revelation knowledge. That the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. It just poof. I'm healed. And there's still pain all over your body. But the fullness of the revelation that just hit you. Hey, I'm here. 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 And then a carnal person says, if you're healed, why is the pain still there? Come on, stop looking that way. But I can't blame them, so I might not be able to say carnal for everybody's case. Because some people need to really look at you because your faith might just be excitement. But because maybe we've seen too much excitement that wasn't faith, we don't seem to now know when it is real faith. Oh, but there's a real faith. Where your body is burning you that if they put one drop of water on you, as if needle is choking you, and you still go to the bathroom, turn on the shower by faith. You didn't hear me? One drop looks like needles are choking you, and you enter the bathroom, turn shower on by faith. This thing is not preaching, it's a lifestyle. I've had meetings with excruciating pain in my head, and I'm sitting there doing Zoom meeting during lockdown. I told the leaders one, I said, for the last 2 weeks, this is how I've been feeling. And I didn't skip any meeting. In fact, there was one meeting we had leaders on Zoom. When we started, I thought I would be able to finish. And my wife will finish up. I finished the meeting. So it's not agidi. No, faith is not agidi. It's a revelation. I'm not the sick trying to be healed. I am healed already. Something is trying to challenge that revelation. So you put your foot down and say, I know who I am. I have this thing. It's not preaching. It's not. So what's this topic for today? It's not preaching. This is the real. This is the life. Other times you make no problem. Get back on your feet and keep moving. Do you understand? Romans 8:1. You know, let me say this. Because many times, believers have this shame thing about shame. This thing about shame. So if I now cough now, they now say, he's sick. So shame already affects your faith. I don't know if you got that. You are too carried away with self-impression and image. You're carried away with it. It's your shame. Is anybody getting me? So the doctor says, come and see me. No, let me not meet you in the hospital. I don't want to think I'm not feeling well. But you are really right now not feeling well. Go to that place. Shame is disturbing you. I don't know if anyone's getting me. Can't spend too much time there. If you have to go, go. If you're not going, don't go. But don't stay there. Say, you know, I don't take drugs. And then we see all over you that drug is calling your name. Like I said, we've seen a lot of excitement that wasn't faith, but doesn't mean there's no real faith. So your job this year, be established. Be fully aware and be fully settled in your heart. Be fully settled in your heart. We'll just do quick reading. Personalize, all right? Please. Romans 8:1. Are you ready? All right, let's go. There is therefore now no condemnation to me who is in Christ Jesus. Do not walk after the flesh. That last part is not there. It's actually already in verse 4. All right, read verse 4. That righteousness of... Oh, okay, so yeah, forgive me. What I quoted earlier as verse 4 is verse 3. All right, what the law could not do? Verse 3. All right, when I said Romans 8:4, it's Romans 8:3. Verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh. So it's already in verse 4. So you find most, some Bible translations not putting it in verse 1 because they believe it didn't belong in verse 1, it was in verse 4. So I guess some left it in verse 1 to still give you caution. All right, but let's not spend too much time there. Verse 11, are you there? Want to go? If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells where? Alright, he who raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life to my through the spirit that dwells. Alright, read again. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells where? In me, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall give life to my mortal body by his spirit that dwells in me. Personalized reverse. Now, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead shall give life to my mortal. Yes. So, does the spirit live in you? So you have to read it differently now. Because the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in me, he that raised up Christ from the dead gives life. All right, not shall. He does it. When is he going to do it? He's doing it. It's a present continuous thing, actually. He gives. He gives. He gives. There's a generating set, a consistent life flow in you. Glory to God. All right, he that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in me. Does he live in me? Alright, so he that raised up Christ from the dead gives life. Consistently, I'm renewed. Consistently, I'm energized. Consistently, I'm renewed. Are you hearing me? So that affects diabetes, doesn't it? It affects low blood sugar. It affects what? Leukemia. It affects high blood pressure. Listen, there's a life generated consistently inside you. It's not head knowledge. You have to sit with it. You have to sit with it. Breast cancer, blood cancer, bring it. You sit with it. He that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in me, and that same spirit energizes me. In me is life. Are you hearing me? Whatever is wrong in my body, supernaturally corrected by the spirit. Because he said, what do? We say, don't keep your mouth shut. I beg you. Don't keep your mouth shut. The spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in me. The spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in me. The spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in me. I have life in my mortal body. I have life in this body. I have life in this body right now. I have life. I have life in my toe, in my back, in my head. I have life. I have life. I have life. I have life in me. It's in me now. It's in my kidney. It's in my lungs. It's in my arteries. It's in my liver. My blood vessels have life. Oh, the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, he lives in me. It means resurrection power is in me. Oh, life is in me now. 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 Life! I have eternal life in me. I have eternal life in me. Diseases, germs, and viruses, when they come in contact with my body, they die. They are neutralized because of the life of God in me. Because of the life of God in me. Oh, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free already from the law of sin and death. Oh, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. I'm not trying to be free. Has made me free. I'm not going to be free. Has made me free from the law of sin and the law of death. I have eternal life in me. 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 In me is direction. In me is resurrection. In me is life. If I have life in me, I have life around me. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. I have the Son of God. I have the life of God. I have the Son of God. I have the life of God. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. My testimony is that I have eternal life. I refuse things stagnant around me. I refuse things going bad around me. I have eternal life. I flourish. I flourish. I flourish in finances. I flourish in my health. I flourish in my business. In all that I do, I flourish. The trees beside the river of life, they bring forth fruit every month. I am fruitful every month. He said, so I say, I have eternal life. I am that tree planted by the rivers of water. I bring forth my fruit in my season. My leaves never wither. Anything I do prospers. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. I will not suffer like the world. I'm not with the world. I've been delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his dear son. I'm not with the world. I was dead, now I'm alive. I'm not under the wrath of God. I'm not under the prince of the power of the air. Neither am I under the spirit that, you know, spirit at work in the children of disobedience. I'm not under them. Oh, but God, so rich is he in mercy, with his great love wherewith he loved me, even when I was dead in trespasses and sins, made me alive together with Christ. For by grace am I saved. And he raised me up together with him and sat me together with him in heavenly places. I'm enthroned. I'm enthroned in the place of power. I'm enthroned in a place of revelation. I'm enthroned. I'm seated together with him. I'm not seated in poverty. I'm seated together with him, where all blessings reside. For blessed be God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. I'm enthroned, fully seated, settled, relaxed, in a place where all power is, where all blessing is.
I'm in him, the head of all principality and power. Far above, far above, far above, far above, far above. I don't say there's confederacy when men say there's a confederacy. I don't fear their fear. I have an unction from the Holy One. I do not walk in darkness. I do not walk in darkness. I do not walk in darkness. I do not stumble. I might have stumbled, but I do not stumble. God is my present tense reality. He said, so I say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. So the days we didn't have Gary, we were still not forsaken. The days where there was no food, it was still not being forsaken. Because it's in not being forsaken, those things that happen. And when I say those things, I mean the favor that showed up, the goodness that showed up, the opportunity that showed up. Because David, who said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, you'll be thinking, but he was in the cave of Adullam. Is that not being forsaken? He said, no, I wasn't forsaken. Even there, God kept me. I have the life of God. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, I'm free. Whatever seems like a curse is ineffective. Whatever seems like bondage is ineffective. Whatever seems like you're going round and round in circles, no. I see it. It looks like a reality. It seems I've gone around this same place for the last 3 years. I've gone around this place for the last 5 years. But I'm not going to use that to judge myself. I'll use the word of God to judge it. I am free from the law of sin and the law of death by the law of the Spirit of life. I am free from the law. I look at that thing that makes me feel I'm going around in circles. I stare it in the face and say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I see what happened to my dad, to my uncle, to my mommy, to my brother. I see it happen. I see guys happening to me. I'm not denying it. I will look at it and say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Faith is not a denial. Faith is not a denial. It says you will take the shield of faith. With it you will quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. You will take the shield of faith. You will take the shield. Faith is not denying the reality of things. With faith you will quench them. They are there. We don't deny them. We quench them. Then we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we cut through. And we cut through. And we cut through. For we have in the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. No, we're not closing our mouths. No, we're not closing our mouths. The devil tries to bring depression so that he can shut your mouth. No! He knows that when you speak, the mountain will move. So he wants to depress you. He wants to anger you. He wants to make you... No. Devil, I understand that trick now. My mouth is not going to keep quiet. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Yes, he gives me grace and gives me glory. No good thing does he withhold from me. No good thing does he withhold from me. No good thing does he withhold from me. I'm that tree planted by the rivers of water. I bring forth my fruit in my season. My leaves also wither. Anything that do prospers. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Has made me free. I fight with it. I think it. I talk it. I think it. I picture it. I meditate on it. I think it. I talk it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Your life seems like you take 3 steps forward and then you take 10 steps back. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free. 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 Consistent progress is yours. Consistent progress is yours. Consistent progress is yours because you are free. You are free. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Made me free from the law of sin and death. Made me free. Made me free. And Paul says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Yes, in context it was about the law, but I enjoy all my freedom. I enjoy my freedom. Giving thanks unto the Father who has qualified me to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. I refuse to think I'm not good enough. God has qualified me. There are some favors I want to come to you, and you say, no, it's too much for me. No, God has qualified me. God has qualified me. If I'm good enough to sit in the same place Jesus is sitting, there's nothing I'm not good enough for. There's nothing I'm not good enough for. If I'm good enough to be seated together with him, if I'm good enough to be raised up together, if I'm good enough to be made to sit together, if I'm good enough to be declared the righteousness of God in Christ, if I'm good enough for that, there's nothing I'm not good enough for. There's nothing I'm not good enough for. There's nothing I'm not good enough for. Doors will open and I'll walk through them with boldness and thanksgiving to God who makes all doors to open. It's not pride, it's thanksgiving. Because if he opens a door and then you're still ashamed, I'm not good enough. No. He's the one that has the key of David. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. The spirit of him. The spirit of him. The spirit of him. The spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in me. The spirit will have an easier time keeping me alive than raising Jesus from the dead. I mean, I'm alive, I'm not dead. And he raised somebody from the dead without blood in the person's body. And the person rose up still without blood, moving around without blood. I mean, I'm alive. It's easier for him to keep me alive. And to God, whether it's headache or resurrection, it's the same power. It's the same power. It's the same power. Whether it's headache or cancer or resurrection, same power. That we may know that the exceeding greatness of his power has been released towards us in Christ Jesus. For if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in me, he that raised up Christ from the dead would also, so he also settles my body with eternal life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I refuse to have a down day. I refuse to have a sick day. I refuse to have a bad day. Glory to God. You want to lift your hands tonight? Glory to God. Thank you. Establish therein with thanksgiving. Establish therein with thanksgiving. When we look into the world, so much to be grateful for. Establish therein. Your life is complete. Your life is perfect. God sees you and he smiles and says, that is my workmanship. That is my workmanship. He's not looking at a problematic life. He's not looking at your life and say, wow, see problem. He looks at you and sees his own glory. So he says, the communication of your faith will become effective by you acknowledging every good thing that is in you. Oh, we give you praise. We are not without direction. We are not without provision. We are not without protection. He keeps us. He nourishes and cherishes us. Everything you need has been supplied. Everything you need. For he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He has given us unto us so much to be grateful for. Don't be covetous. Don't pursue and pursue and get into the trouble of the devil. So much to be thankful for. Oh, we give you praise. Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Father.
Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we said a lot tonight, right? So kindly listen. But don't forget, when he says, what do? We say. When he says, we say. Don't keep your mouth shut. And keep your thoughts in the right place. Keep your thoughts, please, in the right place. When what's on the news is not helping you, shut it off. Half of it, they are lies anyway. Shut it off. Pick the headlines. Pick the highlights. Move away from the rest. And if you do that to news, then many of you don't need all this entertainment stuff you're sitting down with. Who just bought a car? Who is just married? Who did what? What challenge is going on? You have too much. Listen. There's so much heavenly resources to give attention to. These things are distractions. These things are distractions. These things are distractions. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We're rooted, built up, and established, right? Glory to God. We give you praise tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, so we're done. If you want to bless the ushers with money, bless them with money. And we're out. But anybody blessed here tonight? Well, please listen to the teaching. There's fast going on tomorrow and Friday. Do your best to stretch. But the fast...